Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to ATP Radio, hosted by Annie Cyrus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Islam Corner on ATP Radio. I am your host, Annie Cyrus. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have a very informative program, and we have a very, very amazing guest with us, which I will bring her on in 30 seconds. Let me do the normal call-outs or shout-outs. Please, if you haven't done so yet, grab your cell phones, text my name, Annie, A-N-N-I, and send it to the number 88202, and you will be signed up to our text alert system when you get all of our educational material and notification to our live programming. If you don't want to do the text, that's not a problem. Go to AmericanTruthProject.org and sign up through our email system, and you receive our newsletter. Also, make sure to share this program on all your social media and tell your friends to join us, because this is a very important topic that every single American needs to know about. Without further ado, it is my honor and privilege to introduce our guest today, Bridget Gabriel. She's a national security analyst. She's a New York Times best-selling author and chairman of ActForAmerica.org, and her latest bestseller is Rise. If you haven't read it, please do so. Hi, Bridget, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be with you.
It is such an honor. I have looked forward to today for years.
Thank you so much. I'm a big admirer of yours, Annie, so I'm delighted to be with you.
Thank you so much. Let's dive right in, because we only have 1 hour, and I want to make sure to hear all of your brilliant thoughts, and also, of course, I'm sure my audience does. Bridget, you have been informing, educating, and telling all Americans, furthermore, all human society, for years, that Muslim Brotherhood is trying to infiltrate our government. And their bottom line and end game is to fly their flag over our White House. How deep this infiltration has gone today?
Well, you know, Annie, we've been trying to wake up the American public ever since 9/11 about the influence operation and the threat of radical Islam to world peace and our national security. And a part of that plan of the Muslim Brotherhood is the infiltration of the United States. Osama bin Laden said it himself that the September 11th attack was a trigger. It was basically to start the conversation and the movement. It succeeded beyond his wildest expectations. Never did he imagine that because of September 11th, we're going to have iftar dinners at the White House, actually started under President Bush, that we're going to have the Muslim Initiative Program, where President Bush launched after 9/11 to bring Muslim operatives to work on all levels in our government, because he thought, President Bush at that time, that in order for us to fight radical Islamists, we need to bring Muslims into our government, Muslim Americans, because as far as he was concerned, of course their loyalty lies in the United States and not somewhere else, because after all, when they became an American, they pledged allegiance to the United States, forsaken all other countries, and pledging their loyalty to America. Little did he understand the threat and the mentality and the ideology driving the radical Islamist at that time. And it was under President Bush that he brought Muslims into the Pentagon, into the State Department, into the White House. He thought they will be able to translate material to work as translators, as the middle people, as we negotiate with the Taliban at that time, or reaching out to identify terrorist groups within our own country. What we found out was that basically the operatives that he brought into the government of the United States, and that includes the State Department and the Pentagon, like Imam al-Awlaki, for example, who was brought into the Pentagon to say the prayers for the ceremony remembering 9/11, became nothing more than the head of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which we ended up killing later on. So it was under President Bush that the infiltration began and was actually not only given access, but President Bush rolled out the red carpet to the Islamists that we brought into the government. And starting at that time, back in 2002 actually, when all that process began, is when we started seeing the influence operation become bigger, deeper, more influential, and more broad within our government. And today we are seeing the results.
That is so, I think for someone like myself and for you who completely have a tangible understanding of jihad, it is so terrifying to say that our government asked those who believe and follow Sharia to come and protect us against Sharia jihad. It makes zero sense.
Because President Bush at that time did not understand what the ideology of Islam is. Actually, he said, you know, he figured a lot of Americans, when they hear the word Islam, they think, you know, it means peace, you know, like assalamu alaikum. They don't understand that there's a huge difference between salam, which means peace, and Islam, which means the religion, which means submission. And the ideology that al-Qaeda adhered to is basically the most authentic form of Islamism. In my second book titled They Must Be Stopped, I have a whole chapter titled A Pure Drink Their Islam Straight, where I detail where the radicals are getting their ideology. President Bush at that time, as well as the American leaders, did not understand the ideology, did not understand the jihadist mentality, did not understand martyrdom. They thought, of course, all Muslims are peaceful, and it is just the radical minority who are doing these things, and they are right. 75% of Muslims around the world are not strapping bombs on their bodies and trying to blow us all up. But the 25% radicals are the ones that matter. And those are being funded, they are being supported by very wealthy sheikhs in the Middle East and by very wealthy people across the globe who basically support that ideology. And now when you move to 2021 and you realize that the Islamists now, like Linda Sarsour, like these type of Islamists right now who are very prominent, like the CARE members, are not only being supported by radical Islamists from the Middle East and the Gulf states who are mega millionaires, but they're also being supported by the leftist element in our society who basically have combined forces with the Islamists to basically influence the United States, affect policy in America, and we are watching right now the effect of that coalition ganging up against the United States in all forms, because right now you have the country divided between the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, which is working with the, quote, brown-skinned people and brown organizations like CARE, and Linda Sarsour, who identifies as oppressed minority, and now they are working together against our country and against our freedoms. That is a problem. Unfortunately, Annie, when people like us were warning about the influence operation within our government, and at that time when we were working on it, we were warning at that time about terrorism because it was the biggest threat to the United States. Most people were not talking about socialism or Marxism. It's what was not as prevalent. It was not as visible. It was not as organized. Right now, back then people did not pay attention, but right now we are seeing all the forces come together, not just the Islamists, but the Marxists, the socialists, the communists are coming together against our country.
That is very correct. You said something very interesting just now. It said the so-called brown-skinned people. Here's my question. I'm brown. So are you, Bridget. How come Linda Sosur and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Keith Allison and members of CARE don't even bother when me and you are being threatened and have bounties on our head for simply stating facts about jihad? We're not brown and skin at that point?
It's all about politics. This is why black people in America don't care how many black people die in Chicago over the weekend, don't care about how many black children are dead because of black-on-black violence, but they do care when George Floyd is killed because he was killed by a police officer. And look, we have bad apples everywhere. You have police officers who do things that they're not supposed to do, that they should not do, and they should think twice about it. I understand that. But again, they are picking and choosing who they stand up against. We are for the protection of all people, brown, black, yellow, Indians. I don't care what your skin color is. We are all humans, and we all have red blood that flows through our bodies. We all have families that we love. We all want to make a living and provide for our families. We all want to live in peace. We all want to leave the world more peaceful for our children to grow up and prosper. We do not want to see harm. However, unfortunately, what we are seeing today, we are seeing such identity politics that people like you and me, look, I'm Middle Eastern, I have tan skin, I'm Mediterranean. And so when people like me speak up about why we need to control immigration, and I'm an immigrant, illegal immigrant to this country, by the way, I'm speaking because I did it by the book. I came here, I love this country. When I pledged allegiance to the United States the day I became an American, I left everything behind. I don't have dual citizenship. I don't want dual citizenship with Lebanon. I am an American and nothing but an American. But when I speak the way I do because they do not agree with my policies, they go out of their way to assassinate my character, destroy my livelihood, destroy my life, attack my family and yours, because we are all in the same boat. Like you said, we both have brown skin, yet we are both attacked because of our skin color. And I do not know about you, Annie, but I've been in this country for almost 35 years. Never once in my 35 years in the United States until this year that I ever even thought of my skin color. As a matter of fact, the only time my skin color was an issue was when people were complimenting me on my Mediterranean tan that I was born with. It was never my color, my tan, never ever once got in the way of me starting my own business, running my own business. As a matter of fact, when I went to apply for an 8A program when I was starting my production company back, you know, in the early 90s, and friends of mine who were African Americans told me, look, we have an 8A program and maybe you can qualify for an 8A program. This is a program where the government hands you contracts where you don't even have to bid on it because they consider you an unprivileged minority because of your skin color. When I put in my application and I went to meet with the Small Business Department, the first thing they said to me, well, you're Lebanese, you don't qualify. I said, what do you mean I'm Lebanese, I don't qualify? Look at my skin color. He said to me, well, no, you are Lebanese. Lebanese and Jews and Indians who come from India and Vietnamese and those type of people don't qualify because you all come to this country and within 1 year you own your own business and you drive a Mercedes. Therefore, we don't hand those contracts to you. We save them for people who we believe are oppressed. And that was the government's response to my application. So I built my business in this country by my bootstraps. I worked hard. I ran a business. I raised a family. I pinched pennies. I had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunches as I saved my money. And this is how I built a life in the United States and became successful, because that's what all immigrants do. The legal immigrants for the last 300 years, they have come to the United States. They worked hard in the United States. They built a life in the United States, and they became successful. Never before that we have an immigration system for losers to come to the United States to siphon off our taxes and the goodies of America so they can send it somewhere else without any intention of ever becoming someone successful in this country.
Amen. Yes. Comes August of this year, it will be 19 years that I have arrived in the United States of America, and I agree. I have had people ask me that. I have met many Middle Eastern, especially, who came to America, and shortly after, they built their life. My answer always is because when we come here, we really come from oppression, especially women. We
yep.
come from where we are half a person. We have a male guardian to decide every single breath we take daily. So when we find the freedom that is offered in America equally to every single breathing human, then we grab it, hold on to it like dear life, and we build a life that we came here to build. I came to this country completely legal, went through all proper channels, waited 3 years in Turkey to make sure to come to America with a welcome to America paperwork. And when I arrived, exactly, nobody told me, hey, because of your color skin or eye color or height or any of that, not even my accent ever got in the way of me building the life I have today until a few years ago when I started losing my clients and my business. Because I came out and started warning people that Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, Islamic Republic of Iran's regime, my motherland, they're all after one goal, which is taking down America and wiping Israel off the map. That's when I started losing my life.
Exactly. And that's what Americans do not understand. Today, you've got the young generation of Americans who do not understand the issues, are not interested in learning about history. This is exactly why they say those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. People like you and me have escaped oppression. You can talk about what happened in Iran after the Shah, how Iran was under the Shah, and what happened when Khomeini came to power, and look how the Iranians are living today. I can talk about Lebanon being Paris of the Middle East and then being completely destroyed at the hands of the Palestinians who used our democracy to destroy our democracy. And what people used to say to us back in Lebanon, oh, we hate you, we're going to change everything, you know, first comes Saturday, then comes Sunday, meaning first we kill the Jews, then we come for the Christians. We didn't understand them. We didn't take them at their words. We thought, oh, they don't really mean it. We took them in as refugees, you know. We gave them shelter. We sent their kids to school. We gave them food. We didn't realize that they can turn against us the way they turned against us. But we had important people who do not share our values. So when people like you and me come to the United States and we start warning people about what is coming because we understand the enemy. We were on the other side. We grew up on the other side. We understand what they're saying. We understand their language. We understand their mentality. So when we warn Americans about what's coming, because America's future, our past is America's future, unless America wakes up today. When you look at the countries that you and I were born into, they're totalitarian countries, completely corrupt, completely almost bankrupt. Well, my country of Lebanon is definitely totally bankrupt right now. People are starving. They're fighting for gas lines. They are fighting at the grocery stores to buy milk and bread for their children. The country completely fell apart from being Paris of the Middle East to where it is today. It's because when you have corrupt leaders who are only interested in lining their own pockets, when you have leaders who would sell their soul to the enemy in order to advance their own career, selling their country in the process and not minding selling their own country, because they don't care about anybody else, that's when you have countries deteriorate. Your country did, your country of birth did, my country of birth did. That's why we came to America to build a better life. And that's why after September 11th, we started warning, and we started warning with passion about why we need to wake up and change course, especially when we started seeing that the same corrupt, unethical people that come from our region of the world are now within very influential positions within our government with access to classified information that they are actually passing to our enemies. A couple months ago when they convicted the lady from the Pentagon who was passing information about the people who gave us the intelligence to kill Soleimani and gave gave it to Hezbollah in Lebanon and to the Iranians. And these people are working within our government. Now, when you and I voice our opinion and when we warn people about what's within the government, they call us racist, they call us homophobes, xenophobes, Islamophobes, because they cannot argue with our facts. That's why they start slapping names on us, trying to silence us. But people like you and me who escaped tyranny are not going to be silenced, and that's why we continue sounding the alarms, and that's why, Annie, I have my organization, actforamerica.org, and I encourage our listeners, go to our website, actforamerica.org, and join us. Act for America today is the largest national security organization in the U.S., devoted to protecting America, to preserving America's security and sovereignty and freedom. We have 1.6 million members nationwide. We have passed 112 bills on the federal level and the state level. And we have groups nationwide. Go to our website, actforamerica.org. Click on join the movement and join us if you want to stand up today and start fighting for our country.
Absolutely. I agree. I have actually had the honor to speak at over 21 of your chapters across America.
Fantastic.
And that's the thing. Yeah, you know, people need to realize when someone like Linda Sarsour comes out screaming minority oppressed, no, Linda, you're getting all the biggest stages, you're getting photo ops with all the government members who are willing to throw us, American citizens, under the bus to make you happy so you wouldn't label them Islamophobe. But on the other hand, there are very few of us who are willing to still stand up, speak out, regardless of the risk that we're going to face one way or another, because we love America. Because we came to this country, I feel, Bridget, I always walk around and say the most brilliant document ever written in the history of human society is the Constitution that we have today. I just adore our Constitution. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it is as close as perfection can ever get. But then Linda has said, Ilhan has said it, and Rashida, they have all said that they ultimately want to tweak our Constitution to where blasphemy law can exist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, exactly. I mean, they are working, and what's so scary right now is that they are working with leftist organizations, you know, who are basically working with them hand in hand in order to silence people like you and me. Look, leftist groups are working regularly with Islamic organizations, you know, like CARE and ISNA and others to prevent almost every common sense intelligence and security measure that will secure the country from terrorist attacks from taking hold. The leftists have been colluding with Islamists on everything from cutting human intelligence to monitoring mosques and blocking the training of counterterrorism agents on signs of Islamic radicalism to smearing their enemies with accusations of Islamophobia, and the list goes on and on. There is perhaps no greater example of this relationship than that which exists between CARE and the American Civil Liberty Union, the ACLU. Basically, the ACLU functions as CARE's legal attack dog, filing lawsuits against anyone who gets in the way of CARE's radical agenda. Not only that, Linda Sarsour is now bragging about how she's working with the leftists. Sarsour is being funded by leftist groups like the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the ACLU to continue spreading her poisonous propaganda. She gave an interview to Glamour magazine. She said, I haven't seen coordination like this in my 16 years of doing community organizing, both locally and nationally. We absolutely have the support of groups like the ACLU, the Human Rights Campaign, and Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, for example, was the premier sponsor of the Women's March, and other groups like the National Resource Defense Council, Pro-Choice America, MoveOn.org, the Human Rights Campaign, and even labor unions like 1199, SEIU, and the American Federation of Teachers came out in support. So Sarsour's response reveals a dangerous web of alliances between the far-left groups and radical Islamists like her, who have teamed up to fight a mutual enemy, the United States and its Judeo-Christian culture. They raise money together, they repeat each other's talking points, and they defend one another whenever the other is exposed. This is how much they are coordinating. We in America, on the right, people or the general public have no idea the level of coordination between leftist organization and Islamist organization. In my last book titled Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom, I have a whole chapter titled The Leftist Islamist Coalition, where I detail their association together.
Yes, and I repeat, if you have not read the book Rise, please purchase it and read it word by word, and then grab that and be annoying and go tell everyone, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbor. It's okay to lose a couple of friends. Listen, the stakes are as high as it could get ever. Trust me, fellow Americans, this is it. Losing a couple of friends or coworkers, or even if a family member gets mad at you, it's all right. We are about to lose our freedom. And trust me, I'm sure Bridget can back me on this. You do not want to go there. They both come from where freedom didn't even have a meaning, let alone existence.
Right. And once you lose your freedom, it is very difficult to get it back. Look at what the people in Iran are going through. Look at what the people in Lebanon are going through. I mean, just recently as 2 years ago, there were people by the millions in the streets of Lebanon revolting against the government. COVID shut everything down. COVID was a godsend to basically keep the corrupt leaders in office who are getting richer and richer and richer and richer and have their money in Switzerland and nothing can touch them. They have depleted the bank, the central bank, and nothing's going on. They are untouchable where people are starving. Look at in Iran. Look at the million people marching in Iran. Shame on President Obama for not standing with the freedom fighters in Iran. And he basically took the side of the mullocracy. This should go down in history records, how America, under the leadership of Obama, betrayed the Iranian people who were fighting for their freedom. And look how difficult it is to get it back. And this is a warning to Americans. When you lose your freedom, don't think then you can wake up and fight for it, because it'll be very difficult to get it back once you lose it. Now is the time to stand up and fight. Now is the time to stand up and speak. And by the way, when you are sitting with your friends, and, you know, they are complaining to you about America, and they are bad-mouthing America, and they are putting down America, and they are complaining about America, and you do not stand your ground, and you do not stand up and speak up in defense of America, you are the cancel culture. You are a part of the cancel culture, because you are canceling your own voice, not only the voices of freedom fighters like us who are speaking out in defense of freedom, but you're not only silencing yourself, you are empowering people who are trying to cancel conservatives and patriots who are speaking out in defense of our Constitution, in defense of our Bill of Rights, in defense of the freedom that America has given its people and the freedom that we enjoy. Because let me tell you something, there is no other country on earth as free as the United States of America. This is exactly why the people flock from all over the world to come to America, no matter how much they hate us, no matter how much they loathe us, no matter how much they despise us, no matter how much they do not agree with us. Despite all that, they cross oceans to come to the United States of America, and they do that for a reason. If Saudi Arabia was so hot, you'll see people immigrating to Saudi Arabia or to Iran or to Venezuela or to Cuba or to Indonesia or to any other country in the world. But instead, they're not going over there. They are trying to come to the United States of America.
Amen. I will apologize to my audience. I'm sorry. I was extremely excited, but I couldn't wait to start the discussion with Bridget Gabriel. So I forgot to say, if you have any questions for my very special guest today, you can call in by dialing the number 516-595-8069 and then press 1, and our producer will take your name and your question, and I promise I will read it to Bridget, and she will answer it for you. I do apologize for half an hour delay to announce this. But, Bridget, there's one question from our audience that I'd like to ask you because I would like to know the answer as well. She's saying that where she works, there's absolutely no room to have any discussion like this. As you know, cancel culture, she might most likely even lose her job if she does that. So she's asking, can you recommend any short papers or pamphlets that might red pill my coworkers or perhaps a student with the truth so she doesn't have to discuss it with them? She can just give them the pamphlet or the paper.
Well, look, once you give them the pamphlet of the paper, they're going to know exactly where you stand. If they already know where you stand, then today on social media, there are plenty of people who make the case for freedom, like myself, like Candace Owen, like Charlie Kirk, like many, many others who can talk about freedom, that you can share that with them. You can send them links. Video is the most convincing thing nowadays, and everybody is on social media. A lot of people do not want to sit and read. They are not going to sit down and read articles, but they are going to listen to videos, and there are plenty of those. But here's one thing I want to emphasize. A man convinced against his will is of the same will still. Sometimes people try to convince others to see something their way. They're usually, if you're going to beat them over the head trying to convince them, they're not going to be convinced. You need to talk to the choir. You need to talk to people who agree with you and bring them together and form a group and start becoming active in your own community. Talk about community organizing one-on-one. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what we do at Act for America. That's why I'm saying form a group. Join us. Either start a group or join a group if there's no group near you. Start a group if there's no group near you. If there's a group near you, join it. Become active. Sign up to get our emails and action alerts. Go to actforamerica.org. Click on join the movement, or at least sign up to get our emails and action alerts. You can forward our emails to your friends if you want to forward them articles and subject and videos and stuff like that. We send plenty of emails and articles about these issues. Also, we send notification about bills coming down for a vote for all of you right now who are listening to me. Make sure you sign up to get our emails and action alerts and give us your address, what state you are in, because we are monitoring state bills in all states, and we send action alerts about bills coming down for a vote in your state, so you can call or email your representative, your state delegate or state senator or city council or state school board, whatever it is the bill that we are working on, and you can make your voice heard. If we do not know what state you live in, you are not going to get those action alerts if you're just signed up to get our emails in general. They will only go to people that we know. For example, if there's a bill in Arkansas and we know that you live in Arkansas, you're going to get an action alert about a bill coming down for a vote in Arkansas. If you just sign up with your email, we do not know where you live. You're not going to get any notification regarding bills. That's an important point I wanted to get out. When I talked about cancel culture earlier and I said when you are with your friends and they are speaking against our country, then you need to speak up and make your voice heard, letting them know where you stand as well. Don't be silenced. But for your political activism, and every single person needs to be engaged. No matter what you do, become engaged. Even if you are a keyboard activist, even if you join us on the internet where you get our action alerts and you send emails to your elected officials and you forward emails to your friends, at least become a keyboard activist if you do not want to become more involved. Go to actforamerica.org, become engaged, become involved. Now is the time to act.
I 100% agree. This is an info war. This is about information. You got to know your enemy to fight your enemy. And a lot of these bills that are going in are going to turn into our enemies. So if you know about them, you can stop them. You can do something. I completely agree. Let me repeat one more time. Actforamerica.org. Go in there, sign up for anything you can do, and then get involved, because we all got to do our own part, whatever that might be. But I promise you, dear audience, we all have a part to play, and we need to start playing now. Thank you for that information, Bridget. Now, let's go back. When we started this discussion, I agree with you. Back then, there wasn't enough information for that.
Annie, can I add one thing? I know a lot of people, well, bills, before we move from this thing, I know a lot of bills for people are concerned about critical race theory right now because it's literally dividing the country. And I want to give you an idea about the bills we are working on when I talk about bills, why we need to reach you, because this is a part of the cultural war. We are literally fighting for our survival and the survival of the United States. We are fighting a group of people who want to eliminate our Constitution, who want to eliminate our Bill of Rights, who want to eliminate our freedom, and they are dividing the country using race. And this critical race theory is the destruction and decay of our country from within. And so I was talking about notifying people about bills coming down for a vote. We work on so many bills about so many issues, and I'm going to discuss critical race theory because I know that a lot of people are concerned about it. Act for America is very actively engaged right now in 26 states with critical race theory bills. We were able to pass a critical race theory bill to stop it in Arizona, in Arkansas, in Idaho, in Iowa. We have a CRT bill now pending in Kentucky. We have another one pending in Louisiana. We passed one in Maine. We now have one pending in Michigan. In Missouri, we introduced it, but it failed. We now have one pending in New Hampshire. We have one pending in North Carolina. We have one pending in Ohio. Those pending, if you are listening to me right now and you are in any of those states, Ohio, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Louisiana, Kentucky, we need you signed up to get our emails and action alerts so you can be notified when the bill is coming down so you can call your elected officials. We passed it in Oklahoma. We have now bills pending in Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, and South Dakota failed. We passed one in Tennessee, passed one in Texas, passed one in Utah. I'm reciting them to you because they are right now in front of me because I was working on them right before I got on this call. This is why I say it is so important for everybody to become engaged. Go to actforamerica.org, sign up on Join the Movement, or at least sign up to get our emails and action alerts, and let us know where you are, what state you are in. So when we have a bill coming down for a vote, whether it's about FBI monitoring terrorist activity, whether it is about something the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to do in your state, whether it's about critical race theory, whether it is about election integrity, whether it is about border security, we need to be able to reach you. And this just gives you an example of the type of work that Act for America does.
Wow. I am impressed. Well, I'm scared of what they're doing. I agree. It is very ironic when you try to divide a country based on race, where our First Amendment exists. That right there should be enough fear and alarming for people, but I am very impressed with what you're doing. So, yes, please, people, go to actforamerica.org and get involved because we actually cover this at ATP as much as we can as well because it is pretty scary where they're going. Targeting our children, innocent children. They're trying to raise a new generation of racist people just based on this. So thank you, Bridget, for everything you do, but specifically right now for covering this big issue we're facing.
Because right now, Annie, when we talk about security and national security and monitoring people on the no-fly list, for example, you know, CARE is challenging the no-fly list, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I know your audience is very familiar with CARE, but I still feel I have to say the full word just in case we have new listeners. But look, CARE is challenging people on the no-fly list because they're saying this is racist. They're being targeted because of their skin color, because they are brown. I mean, absolute nonsense. So now they are using the race card as a part of the critical race theory. They're using the race card to basically abolish the no-fly list, letting terrorists basically get a free pass to come to the United States because they are blaming it on race instead of blaming it on their link to the Muslim Brotherhood or to terrorist organizations like Hamas, like Hezbollah, like Al-Shabaab, like Al-Qaeda, like ISIS, like whatever any other alphabet soup of terrorist organizations that we're involved with.
I love how you said that. I sometimes can't even keep up with the new terrorist groups coming up with their abbreviations and all that. But you said CARE. I'm glad you said CARE. CARE has targeted all of us. CARE likes to pretend that they are so worried about Muslim civil rights and Muslim communities. No, I can promise you people, CARE has one mission, and that is to silence, which I just love this, Bridget. They label us, me personally, they put a press release out saying, I know of Annie Cyrus, the anti-Muslim speaker. I'm like, I'm sorry, I start all my speeches by saying, I want you to know the number one victims of Islam are Muslims, specifically Muslim women. How am I anti-Muslim when I want to save these people? But that aside, their whole purpose is to silence us so they can lie to American people by saying religion of peace, jihad means survive your workout at the gym and then go and get money from IRGC and Hamas and Islamic Republic of Iran to further their agenda. They're literally walking down our Congress right now, members of CARE. But one thing that I was actually sent this video that recently, about a month ago, Nihad Awad, which is basically the head of CARE National, he's giving a speech at a rally that we need to support Palestinians and we need to literally betray. Well, he doesn't say betray because he has no friendship with Israel, but he said we need to stop all support to Israel so Hamas can go and demolish Israel. Here's my question for you, Bridget. If CARE is so worried about Muslim civil rights in America, why are they constantly promoting the destruction and war against Israel?
Well, remember, Nihad Awad, CARE, was birthed out of Islamic Association for Palestine, IAP, which was named in the Holy Land Foundation trial as raising money and supporting terrorism. And so the leaders of IAP got together in that big famous meeting in Philadelphia where they decided, well, you know what? We need another name. We need a name that is so, free like the breeze that does not threaten America. And we need to come up with a new organization to basically avoid all the bad rap about the Islamic Association for Palestine. And that's where they came up with the name CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. So CARE was birthed out of the Islamic Association for Palestine, IAP, which is listed in the Holy Land Foundation trial, and also listed in the Muslim Brotherhood plan. So Nihad Awad, his number one priority is basically standing up with Hamas and defending the Palestinians. And that's exactly why, because they CARE is basically a part of Hamas, this is why they are against Israel and the Jews, and they want the destruction of Israel and the Jews, and that's exactly why CARE will never condemn Hamas by name.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was hoping my audience would hear. This is an information. If you Google CARE, you're not going to find this. They're just going to make this huge deal of, oh, what a wonderful, noble group of people. No, they are just a front. And there are many other front groups that are doing the dirty job of Hamas, which now here's my next question for you. Biden administration is literally assigning these people to positions in our government that are very important. One name that keeps popping on my radar is the new advisor, who is Farouk Mittal. He is literally a board member of another Hamas group doing business as MGAGE, which is another Muslim civil group in America. And this man is dealing with small businesses, dealing with almost $140 billion every day. Is it that Biden administration isn't aware of it either, or does it go back to the fact that unholy alliance and red-green axis is in power now, and they're just going to hand over all of these positions to members of Hamas?
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They are very well aware who these people are, but look, we are back to pretty much a third Obama term, because under Obama, the reason why CARE rose to prominence the way it did, CARE was receiving governmental grants from the Department of Homeland Security and other governmental grants to the tune of $850,000 a year. So you have organizations like yours and mine struggling to raise a dollar, and of course we are banned by the government because they consider us, quote, radical under Obama. Meanwhile, Obama was handing hundreds of thousands of dollars of our tax dollars to organizations like CARE, like ISNA, like these organizations who are receiving government grants to improve the image of Islam and improve relations between the Islamic community and the United States government. So now they are just going back to doing the same thing. It's basically a continuation of the Obama policies, except now under Biden as president instead of Biden being a vice president. So it is no surprise that this level of coordination and this level of appointments to people with connection to Hamas and CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood to different levels of the government, because they do not look at them as any threat to the United States. They look at them as people who are following the democratic agenda and advancing the democratic system. Look, Obama went up against Hosni Mubarak in Egypt and invited the Muslim Brotherhood and had them seated the first two front seats when he gave his big famous address in Egypt, his first big speech to the Arabic world, and he basically disobeyed and disrespected Mubarak. Mubarak did not want any of the members of the Muslim Brotherhood there, but Obama insisted that they come attend the presentation. Not only attended, but they were seated the first two rows of the auditorium. So what you are seeing right now is the same reverence and respect extended to Muslim Brotherhood operatives and Hamas operatives in the United States that were extended under Obama to the same type of people when Obama was in office, when Biden was a vice president. It's now the third continuation of the Obama's presidency, except now under the shell figure of senile Joe Biden.
That is very true. And back to what I was saying when, you know, they make, again, I go back to Google because, believe it or not, Google is very powerful. They are the number one search engine optimization out there. And as I said, you look up CARE and they're wonderful and you should donate to them. They're doing a good job. But then you look up Act for America, for example, and a hate group itself like SPLC has named Act for America. I have lost count, Bridget, how many times they named Act for America a hate group.
Oh, my goodness. Not only the Southern Poverty Center, not only they named us a hate group as the organization, the headquarter, but, you know, and we had about 1,000 chapters nationwide. They named 48 different chapters of Act for America as 48 different independent group, hate groups. That's exactly why we took the map of our chapters down from our website. You know, in the old days, you know, prior to 2015, you could go on our website and you'll see a map of all our chapters nationwide. You'll see a map of the United States. You put your cursor on whatever state. You click on it and it lists all our chapters in that state. After the SPLC put out its hate list, they literally went out on our website and started picking up every chapter and just naming them because it was a great fundraising tool for the SPLC. They were raising money because they were saying, look, hate groups in America are rising. And this year we have, you know, whatever, so many hate groups. And we knew all they had to do is every year just add another 50 groups of Act for America to their hate list and beef up their hate list. After all, we had 1,000 chapters. They can just keep on adding 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 1 year after another, and boosting the number of hate groups in the United States, even though they were talking about Act for America, the organization, and the groups they were accusing of hate were basically little mom and pop who love this country, who are patriotic Americans, who are veterans, who are hardworking business people, who are hardworking employees, who love their country, wake up in the morning, go to their jobs, make money, pay their taxes, try to serve our country, try to be patriotic, law-abiding citizens. But because they stood in the way and they exposed the evil and the influence operation within our own government, the SPLC, working with the ACLU, working with CARE, working with ISNA, remember, they all work together, went out of their way to identify organizations like Act for America as a hate group because they wanted to discourage people from joining us or believing anything we say. And I have to say, they succeeded because, like you said, when you go on Google right now and you type in Act for America, all you get is hate group, hate group, hate group. Meanwhile, CARE, which is an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorism financing trial in America's history, is listed as this wonderful organization standing up and fighting against bigotry and racism and defending the Muslim community in the United States. Total lies, total baloney, total propaganda on the part of the left and the Islamists coming together to destroy people like you and me and the other patriots who are sounding the alarm.
Exactly, and that's the bottom line. It's that they have taken over mainstream media. You said it early on this program that it isn't just the Islamic movement anymore. We have the communists, we have the Marxists, we have the leftists, we have the socialists. If you would read the Marx book, Marxism Rule, one of the 45 rules is take over mainstream media and repeat the lies on your news enough and people will believe it. That's what we're facing today. They have repeatedly lied about so many great organizations such as Act for America, Jihad Watch, Front Page Magazine, David Horowitz Freedom Center, American Truth Project. You go anywhere, they're all bad. They're all spreading fear and Islamophobia, which can you quickly, please, if you don't mind, can you tell our audience or our listeners about where this Islamophobia word was even created and what was the purpose of it, please?
Oh, my goodness. This is basically an invention of the United Nations. The United Nations came up with that, with the term Islamophobia, which was actually the Arabic bloc at the United Nations, the Islamic bloc, because they wanted to silence any critique of radical Islam. These were the same people who were funding Al-Qaeda, who later were funding ISIS. They wanted to create a word to silence any criticism of radical Islam. They didn't care about whether the criticism has merit, because remember, any of these nations are basically dictatorship. There is no freedom of speech in Saudi Arabia. There is no freedom of speech in Iran. Look, Iran sits on the Human Rights Council, for God's sake, at the United Nations. Libya, the same thing. So when you look at all these nations who sit on the Human Rights Council, who break every single human rights law, people who sit at these, who are member of the Islamic Bloc at the United States, their countries have no freedom. Their people are totally oppressed. If you speak against the dictator or you speak against the country, they come and get you in the middle of the night, never to be heard from again. There is no freedom of press. And so they came together at the United Nations and came up with the word Islamophobia because they wanted to silence criticism. Not only silence criticism, they wanted anybody speaking the truth to be convicted. They wanted to make it a hate crime. As a matter of fact, they are still working on designating Islamophobia and anybody who speaks like this to be designated as a crime of hate. And so this is what we are fighting right now, and that's what the public needs to be aware of and why we need to stand up and fight now while we still have a chance. Now is the time to act. Now we name the organization Act for America. Not think about America, not wish for America, not hope for America, not think about America, but act for America, because without taking action, nothing happens. Go to actforamerica.org, get involved. And if you can support us financially, please do so. We need your help. My philosophy is this: when everyone does a little, together we can accomplish a lot. We do not have a George Soros on the conservative side. We are not funded by oil tycoons like Saudi Arabia and all the sheikhs in the Gulf states funding CARE and funding all these Islamic organizations. America has to be defended by patriotic Americans, everybody giving a little bit at a time. So together we can make a difference for our country and our freedom.
Absolutely. And my philosophy is no war has ever been fought for free. One way or another, no matter how you look at it, there needs to be a financial support for, and this is a war, people. Believe me, we're at war. We are fighting for our freedom, for our liberty, for our children. Remember, again, I'll always say this, Bridget, the revolution and the hijacking of my country by these mullahs happened in 1979. I was born in 1983. I had nothing to do with this. I ended up paying the price for it. So if you're not going to do it for yourself today, that's all right. Think about your daughters, your granddaughters, your nieces, because they will pay the price, even if you think, I have heard this, Bridget, from so many people, oh, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, I'm way too old to fit. Yes, you might not see it, you might just get a wind of it, but the next generation of your blood is going to have to suffer. This is beyond me and you and today.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, what good is building wealth if you cannot leave your children a nation in which to live? You and I are not living in the country that your grandfather and my grandfather built, that your father and my father contributed to, whether in taxes, whether in their sweat, whether in their hard work, whether in building a good life. Whatever your grandfather and your grandmother and my grandfather and my grandmother worked for, you and I no longer have a country in which we were born into where we can live nor raise our children. I'm an only child to a very successful businessman. My father raised the money to build the hospital in our town, build the church in our town, build the school in our town. My children will never, ever lay eyes on anything he has ever built. My children will never, ever even step a foot because I'm in exile and I'm wanted dead in Lebanon. My children will never step a foot in the home their grandfather built for them. So when people like you and I speak about why we need to defend freedom, we know, and this is why we are so passionate. People can hear the passion in our voices. We know what's at stake. And we have cried, have been depressed, and have seen our children deprived of seeing what our parents have built for us and for them that neither you and I can enjoy and neither can our children. I'm not sure if you have children. I have children and grandchildren. As I'm giving you this interview right now, my daughter is going into labor to give birth to another child right now. So I look at my grandchildren, and I feel sorry that they will never be able to know what their grandparents have built for them, because I know how much it hurts me, because I know my mom and my dad. I know how hard they worked. I know how proud they were of our home. I remember my father telling me, one day you're going to live here with your husband and your children, and I want to make sure I build a good life for you so you will never need for anything. Instead, I am here, and I had to build a life in America from scratch, and I had to suffer, and my children will never, ever be able to go back home. And that's the message I want to leave to our audience tonight who are listening to me right now. If you don't think you could lose America, think again. Greater nations, greater empires have been lost because they decayed from the within. Look at the Greek Empire. Look at the Roman Empire. If you think America is invincible, just think of the Titanic, the unsinkable ship that everybody thought it will never sink. Just remember that. Go to actforamerica.org and join us. If my message resonates with you, go to actforamerica.org. Join us. Sign up as an activist. Sign up as a group leader. Start a group. If you don't have time to give of your time, give of your finances. We need your money. We need your support. We are willing to fight the fight on your behalf. Please, we need your help in every way you can. Go to actforamerica.org and support our work.
Absolutely profound, and thank you for sharing, and congratulations on
the
newborn of the new baby. I appreciate you giving me and my audience your time to come on today, even though I'm sure your heart is with your daughter as she goes through her labor, and we wish her all the best, and our prayers are with you and with your family.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. I want to tell my audience to please go to actforamerica.org, get involved financially if you have time, if you know someone who has the money or the time, do that. But again, I'll repeat, go buy the book, Rise. Read it. It will give you information that you will not hear on even Fox News today, okay? Not that I'm saying Fox is that good today. But before we leave, one last question for you, Bridget. After getting involved, doing everything people can, your final thoughts on where the Biden administration will go with Iran nuclear deal and the dangers our nation is going to face if that deal goes through?
Well, we know that Biden wants to go through with the deal, and that's why we have to fight tooth and nail to stop it. We have to do everything we can, because if that deal goes through and Iran does develop a nuclear weapon and sees it to succession, to the supreme success where they do have it, they will use it against Israel and they will use it against the United States, and we cannot take that chance.
For anyone who thinks I'm overreacting because I'm biased, I'm not. That is the truth. We, the people, have got to petition our governments, and we have to stop them from negotiating, making a deal with a mass murdering regime who is financing people, Palestinian people, to go blow themselves up, to kill innocent Jews just because some cult has ordered them to do so. On that note, Bridget Gabriel, I am forever grateful for your wisdom, for your thought, and I hope you come back on my program so we can keep on educating our fellow Americans.
Thank you. I would be delighted to do so, and thank you so much for having me with you today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And to my lovely audience, thank you so much for staying with us. Thank you so much for sending questions. Remember, if you want to stay in touch with me at American Truth Project, all you got to do is text my name, A-N-N-I, and send it to the number 88202, or simply go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and sign up, because as Bridget said, you have got to get involved. On that note, please stay safe, stay vigilant, and I will talk to you all next Monday.
You were listening to ATP Radio with Annie Cyrus.